Okay. Well, the pressure chamber works when you, basically, when you take, what do you do with cut flowers when you get them home?
Put them in water.
What do you do before you put them in water? What should you do?
Chop the bottom of the stems.
Why do you cut the bottom of the stems off?
It says so in the instructions. I don't know.
Right. Well, because the transpiration stream, which is drawing water up, right, from the roots to the shoots, is under tension. It's under a negative pressure. So when you cut your flower, or you cut any leaf, or you cut any organ off, the tension means that the water columns, the capillaries are all held in. That means that they spring away from the cut part. And you basically get the bottom part of the xylem filling with air.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so if you just plonk your cut flowers back in,
right,
they may not necessarily be able to reconnect. And so for some things like roses, for instance, it's very sensible to cut off the bottom. Because then, and immediately put them in water, which means that you've effectively re-established hydraulic continuity.
Right.
Okay. So, with that understanding, if you therefore take a cut shoot or a leaf, which as we've already explained, the water has sprung away from the actual cut. If you then invert it into a pressure chamber, seal around the stem, and then pressurize the chamber, what you will gradually do is, as you increase the pressure, you will force that xylem meniscus back towards the cut part of the leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And so you examine with a lens very carefully, you look for the glistening, the first moistening of the actual cut part, which tells you that you've just managed to force the xylem sap back to the original place it was at before you cut it, and you check the pressure. So the pressure you apply with the pressure chamber is then equal and opposite to the tension that the xylem was held under before you cut it. So very simply, in simple terms, if you have a drought stress plant which has a very negative water potential in the leaf relative to the shoot, so there's a big gradient of water potential, so there's huge tension between the root and the shoot. When you cut it, you need to apply a much bigger pressure to force the sap back to the cut end of the petiole. So therefore, because that pressure is effectively that you're applying is equal but in the opposite sign to the tension or the negative pressure that the sap was being held under, you've got a direct measure effectively of water potential.
Yes.
In simple terms, in practice, you ought to take some account of the osmotic concentration of the cell sap solutes. So strictly speaking, what you measure with the pressure bomb isn't exactly leaf water potential, because there is a small finite solute concentration in the xylem sap, which you should account for. But in practical terms, we take the pressure needed to force the sap back to the cut end equal to the water potential that the shoot or leaf or whatever organ you're measuring was operating under before you cut it off.
So do you do this for C3 and C4?
You can do it for C3 and C4. It's more difficult for... It's easier to do on things with a defined petiole. And when you get to plants which don't have quite such a well-defined petiole, such as grasses, it then becomes slightly more complicated. But you can account for it because grasses, being monocots, have parallel veins, and you can actually cut out a little leaf section, leaving a little point of parallel vein material or a central leaf vein, which you can pop up through the lid of the bomb, and you can seal around that. So yeah, you can check C3 and C4 plants and see whether they are holding similar water potentials for a given set of conditions and whether they can achieve higher rates of photosynthesis as they ought to be able to for the same, if they've got the same water potential. Or alternatively, you would expect that the C4 plants ought to be able to maintain photosynthesis at more negative water potentials because there's a steeper, they can keep their stomata more tightly closed.
Okay.
Did Barney explain that?
Because
for C3, C4 plant differences, which is what we examined through gas exchange, is because PEP carboxylase has a higher affinity for its substrate, which is actually bicarbonate, than relative to Rubisco, which has a substrate for C2, it means that the PEP carboxylase in the mesophyll cells of a C4 plant can draw down the CO2 concentration available to it in the air to a lower level than could Rubisco.
Mm-hmm.
Which means in turn that you've got two two direct correlations as a result of that. Either if you had a C3 plant and a C4 plant side by side and they had the same stomatal conductance or the same stomatal aperture, the diffusion gradient for CO2 would be steeper into a C4 leaf. And so you would achieve a higher rate of carbon gain for the same stomatal conductance. Okay?
Okay.
Which is why C4 plants achieve higher rates of photosynthesis, one reason, at the periphery. The other argument could be that stomata of C4 plants could be maintained at a lower aperture than the co-occurring C3 plant, and they would maintain the same rate of CO2 uptake, but with a lower stomatal aperture. And under those conditions, the C4 plant would transpire less water. So that's why C4 plants have they transpire less water, they have a higher water use efficiency overall than C3 plants. And of course the other part that adds to the efficiency of carbon gain is the way that in C4 plants you then concentrate CO2 around Rubisco in the bundle sheath cells, and that suppresses oxygenase activity. So without photorespiration, their overall efficiency is much higher, which is why the initial slope of the ACI curve is much steeper for a C4 plant as opposed to a C3 plant, which has to sustain wasteful photorespiration. And that's what they should have got out of the gas exchange part of their measurements.
Yes. I hadn't made that link between photosynthesis, stomata aperture and water potential.
Absolutely critical, because I mean the two things that have led to the development of the C4 pathway, one is this higher photosynthetic efficiency in terms of pure carbon gain, but the other is capacity to grow in drier environments.